We're going to be, as Colin said, in Mark chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and open that up. And I wonder, how many of you grew up in the country? And by country, I don't necessarily mean like, just in an area where you could sit outside and watch a storm come in for a while. How many of you enjoy doing that? Okay, a good few hands, really more hands than I thought would go up. How many of you are just afraid of storms? The weather alert starts going off and you start heading to the basement. How many of those? Anybody? I got a few people, one begrudgingly over here. Okay, very good. Yeah, it kind of seems like in our family, we're kind of split down the middle. We have half of us really enjoy watching how the lightning kind of lights up the sky, and the other half of us really want to, you know, respect that a little bit more and head down into the basement here. And I remember one storm in particular. This is July of 2019. Now, I'm someone, I love to watch a storm. I remember growing up, we'd sit out on the porch and we'd watch the storms coming in for miles before we absolutely had to go inside. And we would just enjoy that time together. And so I'm one who likes that. And we were heading north. We were living in Rushville at the time. We were heading to Kroger in Newcastle because my children, at the time, they could only eat gluten-free chicken tenders. That was the only thing that they would eat. And we ran out early, so we got in the van. We were going up to Kroger. We were going to get another bag. And on our way up there, all of a sudden, I noticed that the sky is getting darker and darker, kind of like suddenly somebody punched it, and it was starting to bruise. And I said to my wife, I said, what kind of weather are we in for here? And so she pulls out her phone, and then she shows me the map. And how can I describe what I saw here? It was like everything was entirely red north of the Henry County line, and we were heading into Newcastle. And I thought, well, this is not ideal. You know, here we were, this one little blip heading into this giant red. It was kind of like, have you ever seen the movie Independence Day? When Randy Quaid flies his ship into the mothership to take it out. That's kind of what it reminded me of. But unfortunately, he sacrificed himself in that mission to save Earth, and I just didn't think that gluten-free chicken tenders were worth that. So we turned around, started coming back the other way, and when that happened, I stopped being Zach, and I became Captain Zach Sparrow, right? And I started shouting directions to my family what was going to happen when we got home. I told Jesse, I said, when we get there, you take the keys and you go and you get the door unlocked and touring. You go with your mom. Do not stop the play. Do not stop. Don't get like $200. Get in the house. Tristan, I'm just going to pick you up and take you in. At the time, it was just the two of them. We didn't have the girls yet. And so we had a plan. Now, Jesse is not as accustomed to storms as I am. She kind of passed her respect for them on to specifically Tristan. I remember as I grabbed him out of his car seat, he's kicking and screaming and flopping and freaking out. And I'd love to tell you that he's calmed down a little bit today when it comes to storms, but he hasn't. If anything, because he's grown, it's just gotten worse. But I tried to tell him that, you know, even though storms hit from time to time, and sometimes they hit hard, God is still in control. He's with us. He'll see us through it. In fact, that little anecdote is going to lead us into our sermon and a sentence for the day, which is this: God's presence doesn't eliminate storms, rather, it redefines them. God's presence doesn't eliminate storms in our lives, it redefines them. I'll give you a second to get that written down if you're taking notes here. And let's go ahead and invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of our time together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, it's an unpopular topic, this one that we'll be discussing today, but I pray that you'll please help us to gain a new bit of insight and perspective on the presence of storms in our lives, and that you'll help us to see what use or what purpose they serve our lives, and by extension, what presence or what purpose they serve your kingdom. So, Father, we pray all this in Jesus. Amen. So, this week we are returning to our Help sermon series. We've been analyzing the question of why we often don't ask for help. Why do we prefer to handle things by ourselves? You know, we don't want to be a bother to anybody. We don't want to give up control, sometimes it seems. You know, we don't want to prefer to handle things ourselves, but often when we do, we sort of end up like that poor coyote who always ends up getting something falling on his head or falling off a cliff or something like that. We sort of end up worse for not asking others to help us along. And we've been looking at Jesus in the book of Mark for inspiration here, because Mark spends a lot of his time talking about these stories where Jesus is helping people. And so we're going to see the story that we encounter today. We'll see what happens when the disciples ask Jesus for help, but still somehow doubt that he'll be able to come through. And I wonder if you've ever done that before. Have you ever been in a situation that is so desperate that when you pray, when you try to get God's attention, it feels more like a formality? It feels more like this is something I have to do and have to say, but this is such a situation that I don't even really think God can help in this particular crisis. If you've ever felt that way before, that's kind of where the disciples are at in this story in Mark chapter 4. Sometimes storms make us feel that way. Storms scare us. We never know what they're going to be capable of. Many of you likely remember just a few years ago, our friends over in Bentonville, they lost their church building when a tornado came through. And that, you never know how devastating a storm is going to be. And so for people like me who like to stay outside until the last possible minute before going in, it's probably better that we treat storms with a little bit more respect, because, you know, they can make a real mess of things. Such is the storm that Jesus and his disciples encounter on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4. Jesus has spent the day teaching. He's ministering to folks. He's pretty tired. And yet still the crowds are following him. And so he's kind of wanting to get away for a bit. He makes a suggestion to the disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked to each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now, I will just bet that this was a story that the disciples would continue to play over in their heads for a while after having experienced it. The disciples, they think their goose is cooked, and yet they are surprised to find the storm that's on the lake has probably, my guess is, even though they haven't had access to things like the Weather Channel or the weather app that you have on your phone, as experienced fishermen, I would guess that they would know a little bit about what kind of weather is coming and how to sort of predict things, whether it would be sufficient for sailing or not. We're going to just put a pin in that for just a second. We'll come back to it. But for now, my guess is that the disciples have no idea that this storm was coming. And so they were completely surprised by the fact that it was here. Otherwise, I wonder if they would have gotten into the boat to begin with. The storm comes, and Jesus, tired from the day of ministering to folks, he's conked out in the back with his head on a pillow. And while the disciples are freaking out, Jesus is snoring away. The disciples rouse him out of his sleep, and their words are very interesting. They decided they were going to drown, and they asked Jesus, "Do you even care that this is happening to us? You got to catch up on your Z's? We're going to die here. Is this really the time to be taking a little siesta?" Having resigned themselves to their fate, the disciples are even more surprised by what happens next. Jesus wakes up, stands up, shuts up the wind and the waves, and Mark describes what happens next as a great calm, and then Jesus asks the question, "Why are you afraid?" Now, in the story that I told earlier, I'll admit, I was afraid. I was racing to get my family home. I was speeding. I would check to make sure the traffic was such, but I would blow through the stop signs as long as I could tell there was nobody coming. I was in a hurry because I wanted to get my family home and safe. And again, I started telling everybody what to do. Jess, get the keys. Torin, get in the house. Tristan, you're with me. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but there was somebody else in the car that I didn't think to consult, and that person was Jesus. And a lot of times, I think storms come up like this, and we, like the disciples, we focus on the danger and not on the person who is with us in the boat. You know, the Bible tells us if we're believers in Christ, He lives in us, His presence is in us. And so that's something that we believe to be true. That's not just something we say to make ourselves feel better when we face dangerous situations. Psalm 23, verse 4, tells us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who's with us? He's with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us, gives us a sense of His presence. And yet, when bad things happen, and when storm clouds of life gather and threaten our doom, often the last place we turn to for help is the first person we should have looked to for answers. To be fair, to be honest, I'm sure I probably breathed a quiet little prayer, Lord, help us make it home before we get here. But my focus was on getting home, not on believing that God could deliver me from danger. So before we go any further with this, let me just go on record as saying that when storms of life come, and they will come, we need to make sure that we don't focus on the storm. Focus instead on the one who is with you in the boat. Now that probably right then and there could conclude our sermon. We've got something to think about. We can head off to Pizza King and call it a day, right? Except that we've got that pin up here. So we need to pull that out and deal with that. Remember when I said that the disciples were likely completely unaware that this storm was coming? Again, they wouldn't have had the weather detecting tools that we have today, but as experienced fishermen, my guess is they would be able to detect whether something was right or there was something abnormal in the air. And here's my point in this. I suppose I can only truly speculate because the Bible doesn't actually say, but it is my belief that the master of the wind and the waves doesn't just have the power to calm them, but also the power to stir them up from time to time. Now, this next bit involves a fair bit of speculation, so it's important that you know that I could be wrong in some of this. After all, we all know that I've been wrong before. I used to criticize the fact that Walt Disney's version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves lacked variety and color. Specifically in the dwarves themselves. I mean, Snow White herself was colorful, but all the dwarves were dressed rather blandly. Dopey stands out a little bit. Grumpy does too. But I suppose if I could change the color of just one of the dwarves, I'd die happy. Okay. My guess, and again, I'm just speculating here, is that Jesus urged the disciples to get into the boat because He knew the storm was coming. I believe that Jesus, having control of the wind and the waves, even from His sleep, proves that He's the true God of thunder, move over Thor, and He called a little lightning down from heaven. I believe that Jesus is responsible for not just calming the storm, but for its very presence. Now, that's a bold thing to say. I know what you're thinking, but Zach, you sophomorically silly spiritual spokesman seemingly suggesting the Savior's signaling seismic storms, I hear you say. Why would Jesus purposely send the disciples into danger? Well, dear brothers and sisters, before we have a chance to speculate on that too much, let me just answer. Because He knew that they would be safe, and He knew that the result of all this would be that their faith in Him would be stronger. You might hear that and think it sounds barbaric or maybe even sadistic, if that's true. But here's why I disagree. We've all heard that cliche statement, right? That God will never give you any more than you can handle. You heard that one before? You know, would it interest you to know that that is actually not anywhere in the Bible? That's actually one of those sayings that we've sort of made up. Sometimes I think the opposite is true. Sometimes I think God knows we're very much at our breaking point. And if anything more gets heaped onto this thing, we're going to be in a lot of trouble here. Our children stress us out. Our bodies get sick and break down. Our jobs change. Our relationships change. Our families change. Vehicles break. Homes need repairs. The dog has fleas. We're not making enough money to cover expenses, and bills are coming in, and the phone is ringing with creditors who want more of this money that we don't have, and now the kids need new shoes for school. I mean, sometimes I feel like I legitimately cannot take any more on. And there are times when I feel absolutely pushed to my limit. And when I cry out for relief, it seems like my prayers aren't penetrating heaven's shield. I feel desperate. I feel isolated. I feel alone. Maybe you've felt that way before yourselves. But then I remember that I'm not alone. I remember when I'm in the middle of a storm, there's a Jesus in the boat with me who's only fallen asleep because he's waiting for me to ask him for help. Notice the disciples don't say to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, if you could give us a hand, I think we could weather this storm." And then they don't say to him, "Hey, Jesus, growing up so close to Galilee, you've probably weathered storms like this before. Any suggestions of what we can do in this situation here? Can we pull through this here?" No, rather, they say they are going to drown, and they ask Jesus if he even cares. Well, of course he cared. He fell asleep waiting on them to tap into his power. They didn't do that, but I can guarantee you this. If there was another time when the disciples get into the boat with Jesus and a storm like this comes up, what are they going to do? They're going to wake him up a lot quicker and ask him for help the second time around. I think that's why God allows storms into our lives. They test us, they push us, and really what they do is they train us. They grow us in the same way that you as a parent teach your child to walk, where you kind of put out your arms and you maybe they're holding on to your little finger as they start to kind of walk, and you only pull your arms away when they've been able to accurately take a couple steps. And if they stumble, what do? We very quickly throw our arms back out there, but we teach our children that they can rely on us. They may stumble, they may even fall, but we're there, we'll catch them, it's okay. Do we as parents do this just because we want to see our children fall down? Yeah, maybe once or twice, but really the truth is we know that it's the only way they're going to learn to be able to do it for themselves. It's the only way for them to grow. I want to ask you to look at James chapter 1 for just a moment and know that James, this is the Lord's brother growing up here, so we got to pay real special attention to when James talks because he had greater access to Jesus than anyone growing up. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4, James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For your endurance is fully developed. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Perfect and complete. Sign me up, right? Sounds good to me. Peter tells us that our trials will show us that our faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is worth far more, he says, than mere gold. Paul says that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, we can be angry with God about this all we want, and we can be upset about the fact that God doesn't just offer us a cushy life now. We can be angry with him and bitter because life hasn't been that Disney movie fairy tale that we were hoping it would be. But then again, we were never promised that kind of a life. In fact, we were promised the exact opposite kind of life. You might think at some point to yourself, you know, I asked God for help. I took that leap of faith. And things only seem to have gotten worse, not better, for his involvement. Why would I do this again? Well, don't forget that Jesus tells us in John 15 that if the world hated him, we need to be ready for it to hate us too, because it's gonna treat us the way it's treated our master. But we should take heart because he has overcome the world. When we blend these scriptures together, it seems clear to me that the world, being a fallen place, is a place where we're going to have trouble. It's a place from which we need to be redeemed. Jesus has done the work of redeeming us. If you've placed your faith in him, you're officially redeemed from this world, and you no longer need to worry about it for yourself. But you see, there are others in this world who are still asleep on the boat when the storm clouds of life begin to brew, and they are headed for their final days without knowledge of the fact that Jesus has saved them. They may not even be aware of the reality of all that. And Jesus is working to strengthen our faith because he's relying on us to wake them up to the danger ahead. If we are to be the ambassadors that Christ wants us to be, we can't make the mistake of assuming that storms come our way for no reason. God's not picking on us. He's challenging us. He's strengthening us. He's reinforcing us, not because he wants us to be miserable, but because he wants us to be active. So I remember growing up, on a day like today, pretty day, you look outside and you see the sun. I was not allowed to play video games because my dad wanted me to be outside doing whatever the day had to offer. Whether it was playing basketball or just enjoying a sunny day, he would take my Sega Genesis and hide it in the trunk of his car. There was no doing any of that. Yes, sometimes storms are difficult. Yes, sometimes they're scary. But when we remember that he's with us, holding out his arms, making sure that we are safe and working to make us stronger for the mission he sent us on, it makes me more certain of myself during those stressful times if I know there's a purpose for the pain that I'm experiencing. That way, we can be in a much better position to offer help to those who need it. You see, he hasn't called us to live a comfortable life, but rather a life of service. And sometimes serving others puts us in a compromising position. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes it's downright painful. But remember, he says that the greatest among us would be the servant of all. That's what life in Jesus' kingdom looks like. And so, yeah, so the Bible never tells us that he won't give us more than we can handle, but we can rest assured that he won't give us more than he can handle, because he has a purpose for bringing us through these trials to be of help to those who struggle similarly. The day is coming when we will live in the paradise that we dream of, the storm clouds will go away, and we can relax and enjoy life, but that kingdom isn't here yet. Until that day comes, there's work to be done, and he's strengthening us for that work. Now, that will then bring us neatly along to our three weekly challenges, and then we'll wrap things up this morning. The first of those weekly challenges, when the storm clouds come, don't let the storm clouds cloud your perception. Don't let storms cloud your perception, because the disciples had. They called Jesus' character into question. Suffering tends to make us do that from time to time. But I would encourage you not to. Don't lose sight of God's goodness in the middle of your storms. Remember that he loves you, but that he's also challenging you because he's requiring more of you than to just sit and chill and enjoy your life until your time to die comes. There's work to be done in the meantime, so he's equipping us for that work. So don't let the storm cloud your perception. Secondly, don't let the storms cloud your endurance. Keep an eye on the prize. Keep running the race. Paul speaks about this in Galatians chapter 5. He reminds the Galatians they were running a great race before someone cut in on them and messed them up. They had lost sight of the fact that through the Spirit we eagerly await the righteousness that comes through faith. Keep going. Keep it up. Keep the endurance going. The storms will pass. God will reveal his purpose for that storm when it clears. But in the meantime, trust him and don't lose hope. And finally, I would say, don't let storms cloud your ambition. I'll be the first one to tell you that despite what I'm preaching, I don't like when storms come. Not the kind of storms we're talking about anyway. Storms have a way of messing everything up, and I hate that. They knock me out of the zone. They interrupt my life. I think I've got a plan. I think I've got, you know, here we go. And then all of a sudden, I'm back to the drawing board. But when I can tell I'm going through a storm, and I'm not always able to tell, but usually I can, I submit to God and I ask him to show me what it is he's trying to teach me through this. And we got to remember that he sent us on a mission. We can't only be excited about that mission when life is going well, but even when it's unfair, even when it's scary, even when it changes or is sad, we have to remember that through it all, God is still good and God is still in control. I'm happy to tell you that we did manage to beat that particular storm home. We got inside, we got down to the basement in time, we were just fine. But, you know, I was sitting on the couch before going to bed that night and just kind of listening to the rain. It was raining cats and dogs and mythical creatures, and lightning was streaking across the sky. But despite all that, we were safe. And we are. God has us in his hands. He has plans for us, good plans, not for harm. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us he's got a plan for a good future for us. It can be easy to lose sight of that when storm clouds are out there, but let's trust that God cares for us and that he's planning to do something great into our lives, through our lives, through our obedience to him. With that, guys, if anything we said made you realize you're ready today to trust him with your life and to be able to take that leap of faith, and despite whatever storm clouds come, you're ready to trust him, would encourage you to come forward. The band's going to come up, do one more song for us. And if you're ready today to give yourself in baptism to Jesus, we got the water nice and warm back here. We'll get you baptized today. If you'd like to talk through that before you do it, or if you have any questions about anything we've discussed today, get a hold of me throughout the week. I'd love to connect with you and talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But for now, let's pray together. If you'll pray with me, please. Father in heaven, it's easy for us to focus on the things that frighten us, the things that are right in our face and distracting us from you. But those things are often meant to strengthen us, not to scare us. And so, Father, help us to instead trust that you know what you're doing. Remind us that when we're in the middle of the sea in a small boat with winds blowing and waves crashing around us, remind us who's in the boat with us. Help us to take hold of his hand and trust that the God who created the wind and waves can control them in our lives. And may we be better equipped for service, for surviving the storms. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.